I speak to you in the name of God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to St. George here on this last day of Christmas. Oh my gosh, we forgot to turn the Christmas tree on. Imagine this is lit up and bright and covered in lights. Someone can feel free to just kind of sneak in and plug that in if they want while I'm speaking. But good morning and welcome. And today we mark the end of the Christmas season. I know you're tired of me saying it, but Christmas starts December 25th, goes 12 days after. And so technically tomorrow is the last day, but we're here on Sunday together and we are celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany today, which is the last day of Christmas. And Epiphany commemorates the wise men. Colette, thank you so much. Epiphany commemorates the wise men, or the magi, visiting Jesus after a long journey. Most nativity scenes, like this one that you see, include the wise men, you know, the three guys kind of circled around Jesus. Most nativity scenes include the wise men right from the start, right from day one when you put it up. But if we wanted to be more historically accurate, we wouldn't include the wise men until today, on the last day of Christmas, because they didn't start traveling to see Jesus until they saw the star in the sky. And in fact, if you wanted to be really historically accurate, you probably would need to leave this up until July or August, and then have the wise men arrive then, because scholars suggest that it took them anywhere from a couple of months to 2 years to arrive to see Jesus. So even though the wise men weren't really at the manger right when Jesus was born, we include them in the story because they are part of the ritual and the important way that we tell this story, because they too went to Bethlehem to see Jesus. We include them, we remember them, they are important. And as Christians, every year we go through this ritual of telling the Christmas story. We're just ending it. We've been on this journey together, from the anticipation of Advent beginning in November to the joy of the birth of Jesus to ending with the Feast of the Epiphany and the mysterious visit of strangers from the East. And we actually pretend to know more about the Magi than we really do. Matthew's description in the gospel we just heard is quite sparse, and it's been filled in with tradition over the years. For example, we assume there are three of them, likely because there were three gifts offered, but Matthew does not actually tell us how many wise men there were. We assume we know their names. Traditionally, their names are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, but Matthew doesn't say that either. We also don't know exactly where they were coming from. Matthew tells us they are from the east, but nothing more. In short, the Magi remain mysterious to us. However, despite how little we know about them, they are a huge part of our Christmas story. They're a huge part of our Christmas imagery and our nativity scenes, and we include them because they remain essential to telling the story of the birth of Jesus. And they were important for two reasons. First, because they were not Jewish, but still happened to be the first people to proclaim that Jesus was king, showing that Jesus came for all and not just one group of people. Jesus came for all, not for few. That is the crux of Epiphany. That's what we celebrate today. But the wise men were also important because they play a role in the story that we don't always get to hear. The people who choose our readings for the church year sometimes cut off the Bible passages at points where they get a little bit dicey, a little bit gruesome, a little bit questionable. However, I think it's important to include these hard parts of Scripture, and I want you to hear the second reason why the Magi are important, and that is because they saved Jesus' life. So, here are the next few verses that continue from the Gospel that Margie just read for us. We've got a slide. Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. So, in our assigned reading for the day, the story ends with the Magi returning to their home by another route, and not returning to King Herod as they had been instructed. But as we can see in the continuation of that gospel passage, by not returning to Herod, they saved Jesus' life. We know that Herod would not have visited Jesus to pay homage to him, but to kill him. Unfortunately, Herod's wrath did not end there, and after Herod realized the Magi are not going to tell him where Jesus is, he orders the murder of every child under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem on the faint hope that Jesus might be among the dead. It is a gruesome story. It is a troubling story. No wonder we leave it out in most of our lectionary readings around Christmas. But I think it's important to remember this. Christmas is not just a happy-go-lucky story. It has stakes. And we mark the massacre in the church, the massacre of these young children, by a feast day called the Feast of the Holy Innocents. It's celebrated on December 28th during the season of Christmas. And it is a time to remember the innocent victims of all forms of massacre, both in Jesus' time and our own. It's fallen out of style to talk about the feast day of the Holy Innocents. And I like to remind my husband that his birthday, December 28th, is the feast day of the Holy Innocents. So, you know, mixed blessings on that day for you. But I think we should bring it back. We should bring it back. As we see every day in the news, we live in an age of atrocities, and a time that is infamous for the innocent bystanders that are being slaughtered every single day, for people who never chose the causes for which they have been made to die. By remembering them, we become their voice, a voice pleading for justice and for peace. And by remembering this part of the story, we are also reminded that God is at work despite the evil in the world. Unfortunately, God does not guarantee that bad things will not happen, but God does promise that we will not walk through life's dark valleys alone. God was with those grieving parents and holding them in their grief, just like God was with Jesus and Mary and Joseph when they were living as refugees in Egypt, strangers in a strange land, waiting for the danger to pass so they could return home, just like so many others in our world today. And so, as we go through this important ritual of remembering the Magi, remembering their visit on the Feast of the Epiphany, as we remember the Feast of the Holy Innocents, as we leave the Christmas season and move on with our year, let us remember to take all of their voices with us into the new year. The birth of Jesus at Christmas brings great, life-giving, world-changing joy. But we must remember also that this story is also wrapped in stories of sorrow. And by remembering both of these things, we honor what has been lost. We honor the dark times. We honor the sadness that sometimes creeps in at Christmas. Honoring the dead does not erase our joy, but reminds us that God is present in both our sorrow and our joy. After all, Jesus came to a broken world and made his home here as one of us to share in the joy and the pain of our lives and to save each one of us. That's the promise of Epiphany. That's what we celebrate today. And so may we hold both of these stories in our hearts, holding joy in one hand and pain in the other. I love the ritual of ending the Christmas season by commemorating the visit of the Magi. I love the rituals around Christmas, from what we do each day to how we tell the story to what each of you in your own families, what you do in your own homes to celebrate Christmas. There are days of joy and celebration. There are days of quiet wonder. There are days of remembering what has been lost. And here today, there is the day of the Epiphany, the epiphany of Jesus to all people, to be a light in the darkness. And another ritual that I love, even though it's not strictly a Christmas ritual, is I love New Year's resolutions to mark this time of year. This is controversial, I know. If you feel like it, raise your hand if you love New Year's resolutions. Oh my God, there's only three of us. Four, okay. Forgive me for this, but I love New Year's resolutions. I make a big list, I make subcategories, I pick a few to focus on that really excite me. And one of the ones that I am really excited about this year is reading the Bible in 1 year. I haven't done this in about a decade, and I know it is intimidating, but I think every Christian should do this at least once in their life. And you don't have to do it in a year, you could do it in 2 years or three, but you have to read the Bible all the way through. Because if you come to church every single Sunday for 3 years, you will have heard all of the readings that are appointed for us to hear in church. And even if you hear all of those readings, you will still only have heard about 40% of the Bible. And there is stuff in there that is really good, like what we heard today. And yes, you might come up against a long, boring description of the dimensions of buildings, or endless genealogies that go on for pages and pages, and I give you permission to skim through those parts, okay? But there is good stuff in there. There is good stuff that will challenge you, that will inspire you. And as Christians, we have to wrestle with it all, both the life-giving, exciting stories and the challenging ones that cause us to struggle. That is part of our call. So, there are really good Bible in a year reading plans online. I can recommend one to you if you like. Or a simple way to do this is to read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sundays. You can start this anytime, so if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, please join me. And lastly, the other ritual that is important to me on Epiphany is the ritual of chalking the door. Slide. I hold in my hand blackboard chalk, like you'd find in a classroom. Has anyone heard of this, chalking the door on Epiphany? No one. Okay. From my Facebook post yesterday on the St. George on Young Facebook. Okay, it's a tradition that dates back to the Middle Ages, and it is meant to bless your home for the coming year. So this year we would write 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 25. In the year 2026, the last number would be 26, and so forth. And the C and the M and the B are meant to represent the traditional names of the Magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, or a Latin phrase meaning may Christ bless our home. No one really knows, but it's a tradition that's been going on since the Middle Ages, and it's meant to bless your home for the coming year. So I've printed some instructions, and they're on the middle table at the back there. And I'm going to bless this chalk, and I encourage you all to take a piece of chalk and the instructions from the table there. And maybe it can be a new ritual and a nutrition for you and your family as you go into the coming year. And after the service, someone can help me chalk the front door of our church too. Let us pray. Loving God, bless this chalk which you have created, that it may be helpful to your people, and grant that through the invocation of your most holy name, all who use it in faith to write upon their doors may receive health of body, mind, and spirit for all who dwell in or visit their home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.